Blog Talk Radio.
This is Johan, and when I'm not practicing law or being a professor out at Hofstra University, I talk sports, I debate sports. For some great sports talk and debate, check out the Mail on After Further Review on Tuesday nights. Call in.
Every league, every team, every game, every season. 8 to 10, tell a friend. This is where the experts meet to speak on a pro. You want to join the conversation, got to pick up the phone. 646-200-3838. This is the verbal version of the replay. The recap, the game 7, the draft, preseason, the rematch. Players and coaches, the mayor keeps you posted. Whether you're rooting for the home or away. Dirt, turf, hardwood, grass, or clay. We keep the conversation going and we cover it all. So when it goes down, you know the score. When it comes to sports talk, this ain't no small talk. This is the big leagues, the ball is in your court. The best place for debate, the point of view. After further review, you know what to do.
Score. Yo, let me get a sound check, man. Let me get a sound check right quick, man. See where we at. Can I get a round of applause or something? All
right, so now we're in the building.
Okay, that's what it is. You got the mayor in the house, man. 646-200-3838 is the math. I was in the middle of giving the hockey scores, man. Flyers 0, Panthers 0, 5 minutes left in the first period. Washington and St. Louis getting ready to drop the puck. Boston, Minnesota get ready to drop the puck. Nashville and Dallas and Colorado with Edmonton. That's about hockey, people, man. We're going to get into a little bit of that later on, man. I want to touch on that because I like hockey, man. Let's get ready to get into the best time of the season for them. Did I mention that you're listening to GQ Palace Radio, man? You got the mayor in the building, man. You got Big Rich behind the boards. Miss Lavina holding it down. Shout out to them and all that. The women's game is getting ready to pop off, man. We might do a little play-by-play running off here. We're watching the University of Connecticut undefeated against University of Notre Dame undefeated. They're about to get it in, see if University of Connecticut could pull off this double-double. Yeah, man, get into the game last night. I think that, Connecticut really, they did what they had to do, man. You know, they didn't let Kentucky get the lead at all. You know, they played defense when they had to play defense. You know, they got some big rebounds and big plays from Shabazz Napier when they needed them. You know what I mean? He kept on going. You know what I mean? Even when it looked like Kentucky was getting ready to make a run, every time they got close, Connecticut did something else to just keep that lead. You know. And Shabazz Napier and those guys from Connecticut deserve everything that they got. They ran through the tournament. They did their numbers. You know what I mean? They won. I think the hardest part of the tournament for them was having to win those two games last weekend against Michigan State when they beat Michigan State in the other game that they won. I think those are the two hardest games for them because it was like they were on their home floor. They had, really nothing to lose. You know what I mean? And I said once they got down 10 against Michigan State and they came back and went up 10, I said they could do this. You know, they could definitely do this. And it was like Shabazz Napier was making every shot that he threw up from three, and he just was throwing up shots and then was going in. But, once again, man, shout out to them. Whatever Kentucky, those kids in Kentucky decide to do is what they decide to do. Julius Randle, you know what I mean? I think that he's a great ball player, you know what I mean? But as far as, all five of the freshmen leaving, I don't think that's not really, feasible. I don't think that's really going to happen or would have ever happened, you know what I mean? But, again, Connecticut deserved everything they got, and the women are going for their championship tonight, try to make this double-double thing from the University of Connecticut. over to the NBA right quick, man. We already know the situation about the Knicks. It's really basically a done deal, like you said earlier, you know what I mean? And all this just because you're, you know, calling it like you see it, that means you're on again, off again fan. I feel like that's a bunch of garbage. I just feel like you could keep it real as far as, you know, having your head in the sky. That means you have your head up your behind as far as the Knicks are concerned. You know what I mean? The Knicks are going to make the playoffs until they do something about their roster. And doing something about their roster does something about their coaching. So now, are you going to keep Carmelo? Who cares if he stays? If he stays, he stays. If he goes, he goes. You know what I mean? So he never really, you know, had no intention of being here in the first place. I think if he's on the leave, you know, you can't win it all. You got to, if you can't be here when the times is hard, you don't deserve to be here when the times get good. So be out. That's what it is about Carmelo Anthony, man, and that's why the Knicks are where they are. You know, he's had a good season and things of that nature, but it just takes more than that, man. You know what I mean? When the Knicks were winning, man, they had a team. They had a team. You know, that concept seems to have gone out the window, man. Everybody wants to play for themselves, but they don't want to deal with the responsibility of that. You know what I mean? He threw up 62 points, and everybody's supposed to give him props. He didn't do nothing. What did he do? You know, everybody's talking about the Knicks is still going to make the playoffs. We got the A spot. We got the A spot. Where's the A spot at now? And that was my point from the door. This team cannot be trusted, so why would you even deal with them? Why would you put false hope into a team that you know not going to do nothing? Yeah, all right, that's what's up. But I'm just saying, why would you put false hope into a team that you know not going to do? And I'm a Knicks fan all day. You can't tell me nothing. So that is the point, and that's the issue right there. Being realistic about it and having your head in the sky, a.k.a. your head up your behind, is really not proving nothing. If you can't see it for what it is, then the problem's with you. The problem's not with me because I see it for what it is. You're not a playoff team. You're not built like a playoff team. You want to get the A spot in the playoffs so you can do what? Exactly. So you can play Miami or Indiana and get swept just so you can say you was in the playoffs? Come on, son. Let's keep it really real. Who would you kid trying to kid? Just pack it up. Get ready to do what you're going to do next year. You know what I'm saying? And next year really is no different from this year because we don't got no draft picks. Who are we going to try to convince to come to New York? Unless Phil Jackson is going to coach the team. Don't tell me nothing. Holler at me, Knicks fans. 646-200-3838. That's the one to get in on the conversation. We can get live and direct with it. So I'm just saying, there's seven spots in the playoffs clinched in the East. Miami, Indiana, Toronto, Chicago, Brooklyn, Washington, and Charlotte. They're all in the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. The A spot is up for grabs. Atlanta has the A spot right now. The Knicks are two games behind. The Knicks got four games left. Atlanta has six games left. What are the Knicks going to do? They had plenty of chances. They had the A spot locked down. All you had to do is win. You can't do that? That's my whole thing. And you didn't deserve to be a playoff team anyway if you're under 500. You don't deserve to be in the playoffs. So get rid of J.R. Smith. Let Carmelo do what he's going to do. Deal with Tyson Chandler. You know what I mean? And basically just start from scratch and build the team up. That's all you're going to do. If Carmelo's going to stay, then that's a good look. But if not, then he got to go and we got to build this team from scratch and start all over again. But from the coaching and the whole nine. Because Phil's going to get somebody that he wants in here to run the triangle. And who's the best at running the triangle? Why don't he come down and coach? That's the only way you're going to get this town excited, really, about Phil Jackson being here is if he comes to coach the Knicks. When we were saying that 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 years ago about Phil Jackson coming to the Knicks, it wasn't about him coming to be being no president of basketball operations. We were talking about him coming to coach. So that's why I'm not really beat behind Phil Jackson coming to the Knicks and being some kind of president of basketball operations. That does nothing for me. We got the bell. You know what that means. We got our first caller on the line. Kill, Kia, what's good?
Hi, guys.
I got the echo in the building. Something's wrong. I got the echo in the building.
I'm sorry. I'm going to stop in a few minutes.
Yeah, what's good?
How are you?
I'm like maintaining. Just ranting about these Knicks again.
Oh, well. Get to what
you
know.
Nah, I'm just saying. I mean, it's like to the Knicks fans, Joe. They just kind of like they got their hopes up high, and I ain't mad at them. That's what you're supposed to do, but you got to look at it from a realistic point of view. If you're not gonna make the playoffs, you already know you're not gonna make it. So why would you even get your hopes up like that to get swept? That's all. And hey, you can say what you want to say. And I've been a Knicks fan for a long time. And I know we haven't had a team since Ewan and Derek Harper and Starks and Oakley and Mason in them. We haven't had a team since then. Everybody's out for itself. So that's what it is. Yeah, so we in the building, man. I don't know what's going on with the echo situation. I'm not feeling that. But yeah, we in the building, man. 646-200-3838 is the math, yo. Press 1 to get in on the conversation. That was Kia on the line. Yeah, like I was saying about the Knicks, man. You know, they gonna get it together eventually. But I just think they're going to have to, you know, break it down to its last compound and build it back up. I think the quickest way you're going to be able to build it up is to get Phil Jackson to coach the team. And I think that's where the Knicks will be relevant. I think the Knicks will be relevant again if you get Phil Jackson to coach the team. And the thing about that is, you know, Phil Jackson never really coached any team that was, you know, not about being in the playoffs or being championship material. So that's another thing. So you got to build a championship team now. You don't want to touch nothing that's not going to be a winning team. You don't want to touch that. So that's just basically where it is with that. So holler at your boy, 646-200-3838. Press 1 to get in on the conversation, man. Let me know what your NBA team is, man, if y'all rocking. I'm a Knicks fan, man, so know what it is with me. We're going to get into a whole bunch of other stuff, man, about the West, too, man, the Western Conference. I just think that as far as San Antonio is concerned, man, you know, they do what they do every season. Man, they always run off a nice little streak. You know what I'm saying? They're always in the top two or three in the West. You know, but when it comes to the playoff time, now it's time to show and prove. A lot of people think that, you know, last year was, you know, Miami's year to win, da-da-da-da, this and that. San Antonio should have and could have won that series. Okay, if not for a missed layup by Tim Duncan, he missed a bunny. If he'd have hit that bunny, then the series would have been over. San Antonio would have won. So I don't, you know, think that, you know, really give credence to the fact that San Antonio won a bunch of games. That's what they're supposed to do. So now finish the job. You know, it's not like you haven't done it before, but you were that close last year. You should have got it done last year. Can you get it done this year? Time will tell. We shall see. You know what I mean? Because the West is no joke. The West is no joke, and I think this is about to be the best time in the basketball season right now. You know, the Western Conference is all bunched up. You got the Spurs, the Thunder, the Clippers, the Rockets, the Blazers. You know what I mean? They're in the playoffs already. And you got Golden State, Dallas, and Phoenix trying to hold down the last three spots in the playoffs. Memphis is a game behind Phoenix for the eighth spot. So it's real serious in the West. Anybody could come out of the West. Anybody could come out of the West, regardless of the fact that San Antonio won all those games in a row or whatever. Anybody could get hot. You know what I mean? The Thunder can do what they had to do. They was in the finals a couple years ago. The only team I'm kind of leery about not coming out of this, not being able to come out of the pack, is the Clippers. I don't really trust the Clippers. It's not about Doc Rivers. I just think it's something with Blake Griffin and that whole squad. When it comes to the playoff time, I don't think that they get it. You know what I mean? As far as, you know, how you know, winning the games. Chris Paul is going to get you so far. You know what I mean? But you got pieces that are championship pieces. So Why can't you go ahead and sweep whoever you got to play in the first round, which is probably going to be Golden State? You know what I'm saying? So if you got Golden State in the first round, the Clippers, why can't you do it? Just do away with them, move on, show and prove, and let people know that you're serious about what you're going to do in your playoff run this year. That's a team that I don't really trust. Portland, you know, they was beasts at the beginning of the season. Now they just kind of came back to earth and all that. You know what I mean? So they in the mix. So you can't really put them as a team that's going to stand out. You know? So then you got San Antonio and Oklahoma City. Okay? And you got the Houston Rockets. That's the team that you need to watch. Even though Patrick Beverley is out, he tore up his knee. You know what I mean? That's a crucial loss for them. Kind of deja vu, if you ask me, or karma. You know, because remember in the playoff in last year when he bumped knees with Russell Westbrook and Russell Westbrook was out. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like karma coming back to bite you in the knee. A big loss for them. You know, and Slight Coward. I say his name is going to be Slight Coward until he proves otherwise. You know, he's having a good season. I can't knock him. You know, to me, he's the most improved player. That's just me. Slight Coward is the most improved player in the NBA this season. He's having a nice season, decent season, doing what he's supposed to do. Now the playoffs are here. They're going to have home court probably against Portland in the first round. And I think that would be a good series to gauge where the Houston Rockets are at. You know, and definitely Portland. If Portland can make some noise and beat Houston, then, you know, they would be, you know, considered serious right now. I just think that, you know, Portland, where they are right now, where they began the season, is really two different places. So the playoffs is going to have to tell a story about what the Portland Trailblazers want to do. The West is going to be crazy. Anybody could beat anybody out in the West, and I think anybody will beat anybody in the West. But later on, maybe in a couple weeks, we'll have the playoff preview. But in the East, I don't know. Just because, you know, Miami and Indiana ran into some, you know, tough times recently or whatever, that's going to be an Eastern Conference final. It would be a shock to me. I would be shocked if it was anybody other than Miami and Indiana in the Eastern Conference final. It really doesn't make sense. Well, it makes sense, but it doesn't jive that any other two teams out of the Eastern Conference would make it to the Eastern Conference finals. You know, I mean, if Chicago had Derrick Rose and they were 100%, you know what I mean, you would definitely throw Chicago in the mix. You know, Brooklyn, I'm like, I'm not really sold on them. You know what I'm saying? And you know, I'm really disappointed in my Knicks, but that's another story. But as far as winning the Eastern Conference, it's out of Miami and Indiana. And this might be the toughest road for Miami to, you know, take to a championship. And if they do it this season, then they definitely deserve it. That's the bell again, but we pulled the old switcheroo on you. That's Kia back in the building. You know what I mean? Kia, what's good?
I'm sorry. It's a Tuesday, you know? Trying to get out of the city and get up into North, and I try not to, I can't get home fast enough because I'm not safe, you know. So I try to. I'm good. I heard you said something about the West. Who you?
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out what is this first, you know I'm on strike. If anybody don't know, I've been on strike since Kobe went down the second time. So I haven't watched not a lick of NBA basketball when Kobe went down the second time.
That's really a shame.
I know. I've just been on strike. I could care less. I have not watched nothing.
Okay. I mean, the West, nothing. I mean, the West is the West. It's the same. It's the usual suspects. You know what I'm saying?
What is the Spurs record?
The Spurs record is 60-17. They're gonna clinch the home court in the West. Mm-hmm. They're up by 4.5 games over Oklahoma City. They got
okay.
5 games to play, so they're gonna clinch the West, the number one seed in the West.
Okay.
Uh huh. And the other part of the West is all shook up. It could be anybody.
Yeah.
You know. But I was just saying about as far as coming out of the West, I'm not really sure. Anybody can come out of the West. And what I was saying earlier, a few minutes ago, is a team that I don't trust coming out of the West would be the Clippers.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Let the Clippers let them tell you that they're the new LA team, please.
No, they're not ready. They're not ready yet, yo.
They're not ready yet.
You know what I'm saying? I just and I was saying again about Portland, that first round series, because Houston is fourth and Portland is fifth right now. So if it stays like that, Houston would play Portland in the first round, and that would be a good playoff series.
Mm.
As I was saying earlier, Slight Coward, I think he's the most improved player in the NBA this year.
Oh, anybody care? I don't care left about.
Yeah, I know.
You know I can care less. You know, I'm not even watching the NBA playoff. I'm not watching nothing. I'm not even, you know. I figure when you post, I know. Well, I'm sorry. I'm on strike.
That's so sad.
And
that's the thing we were talking about now. You got to even, just because your team is out of the mix. That's
well, it ain't because of my team. It's because of frustration and frustration with the whole season, frustration with everything. So I don't care to even lowly about NBA basketball.
But see, you can't, as a Laker fan, you can't even talk about having disappointment and being frustrated and all that. Nah, look at all them banners you got flying up there.
And I'm talking about
as
this
a Knicks
season.
Fan, you want to know about frustration?
Well, I'm talking about to speak as a Laker fan.
But you're not speaking right now because you say you want to strike.
Well, I'm on strike. I'm only speaking because the latest fan, my frustration about the season, why I'm on strike. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay. All right. I can dig it.
I don't know nothing. I don't know if you post something, if you talk about it, if anybody else talk about the NBA, that's how I know what's going on. But you know what?
I have TVR for all
my games, but I'm going to decipher which one to put on tape and to watch later on, maybe sometime over the summer or sometime in the winter time.
Right, so you just went cold turkey, huh?
Oh, I just went cold turkey. You know, there's no basketball for me. But I truly enjoyed college basketball. I enjoyed the other sports, you know, baseball there.
Did
so
you
it's
watch
something
the game last
to
night?
Supplement.
Did you watch the game last night?
I watched it last night. You know, I'm going with Kentucky, you know, free throws. I mean, it is what it is. I'm hoping these guys can turn back. I'm hoping nobody go pro. I'm just hoping, like, these guys really come back.
What killed me about the game is Kentucky never had the lead.
I know.
And every chance Kentucky got close, Connecticut would make a big play.
Sebastian was the leadership on that team.
You can't take that for Connecticut.
It was the leadership. And those guys that played, they got to see what leadership is, how you step up. And they learn, and maybe next year and make it a stronger, they'll be sophomores, hopefully they stay sophomores, then they can, you know, do what they got to do. They truly saw what leadership is last night when they got beat.
No doubt. One of those other groups was like, well, I never heard, one of the dudes was in there saying, I never heard of Kevin Ollie. And, you know, was it along for the ride, or, you know, is his team that good?
Kevin Ollie.
I said, well, you know, those players were basically Jim Calhoun's players, and he coached them to a championship, and there's nothing wrong with that. But Kevin Ollie deserved his props. Kevin Ollie paid his dues. You know what I'm saying? And if you don't know that, how are you calling yourself a sports person and you don't know that? That's simple math. Right there. You're supposed to be up on your thing. Well, he did say he wasn't up on it and he didn't follow it. But then I'm trying to, you know, give you some information and you're trying to play me out. And I don't do that well. I don't respond to that well. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, ew, what's the matter with you? You mad because you don't know something? Then it got into a whole dialogue about a whole bunch of other different stuff. But I just had to, you know, shut some of these people down, man, because you claim that you're something that you're not.
I'm trying to give you some information. Right. And take the information with heat and move on. But I don't understand with the other dialogue. The same post I thought that my thing about posts and when you're posting something and about sports, keep it to the post. All that other extra stuff are we talking about a petition about keeping Michael Vick out of the New Jersey facility.
That was kind of crazy.
They tried to do it in Philly, didn't work. They tried in New Jersey, it's not going to work. But I can understand couldn't understand for the life of me how Ben, the Saints, and Spygate was even missing into that post.
A lot of stuff on the internet, man. I don't really even, you know, I don't post it after further review because I think it's beneath us. So I don't even mess with it. You know what I'm saying? So I leave that to the other heads. And I just feel like, why would they still be talking about protesting and not going to having him come to the facility and practice? He paid his dues, man. He did what he had to do.
You know what? I don't think Vic or whoever is worried about these. They try that in Philadelphia.
You know what I'm saying? But again, what do you think about the women's game tonight? The women's national championship, Notre Dame against Connecticut.
It's going to be very interesting because I'm going to go with Notre Dame to try to break up this little thinking that Connecticut going to sweep everything. So I'm going to go with Notre Dame tonight. Just be going with Notre Dame. Because, you know, the breakup is like, Kentucky won last night and the women's going to win tonight. I'm going with Notre Dame. But it's going to be a great game. I think it's going to be a good game.
Yeah, I think that if Breanna Stewart and Mosquito Lewis get off, it's going to be a long night for Notre Dame. But if Notre Dame keeps it close, as long as they keep it close, because, I mean, Notre Dame is good, too. You know what I'm saying? They both undefeated. That's what makes this game real good. It's going to be a good game. You know what I mean? It's not going to be that usual when you're watching a women's game and missing a lot of shots and not knowing what they're doing. No, these females can play. And it's going down. So if you're not watching it, it's going down right now. ESPN, man, women's national championship game, University of Notre Dame against University of Connecticut. Notre Dame is 37-0. UConn is 39-0. It's about to go down. You're listening to After Further Review, man, on GQ Palace Radio. I got Kia in the building holding me down. 646-200-3838 is the math. That's the one to get in on the conversation. I want to shout out to homie Coach Lonnie Knox, who held me down today, man, at Yankee Stadium, man. He had tickets to the game in the suite 211A and all that. Shout out to the coach, Lonnie Knox, man. Sorry I couldn't make the game, man. I was doing my homework and all that. But definitely on the next trip, man, I'm going to be there, man. And definitely you're going to come to the get-together we're going to have at Yankee Stadium, man. So it's going down. Word up. Shout out to my man, Coach Lonnie Knox, man, for holding me down with the Yankee tickets. What's up, Kia? What's good?
No, I'm going to forward you this article that David Zarin from the National, he wrote an article regarding that Shabazz Napier, you know, talk about, you know, but I'm going to forward you the article and let you read it. And I want, you know, you post
about how he goes to bed at night hungry.
But you should see the article that he wrote. And I was trying to tag it to you, but I'm going to try to tag it to you anyway. But
right,
I think
no doubt.
It's on my page, so, you know, but I want you to read the article. It's
right. No doubt. So what's your opinion about it?
I'm just, you know what? Like I said, I can agree with a stipend. I'm just not all for this big money. Like, you're giving these guys big money who have a 2.0 or 1.9 GPA. I'm just like, they're only going to be there for one time, and that's it. And you're going to give them. And somebody was saying, I heard this right. Somebody was like, they should get like $10,000 a month. Who in the world?
What?
This is a little bit, when they get outrageous money and say outrageous money, this is what pisses me off. I'm like, what?
I can't even. That don't make no sense.
That's why I'm not for giving big money or giving this money. If you're giving a stipend, a couple of hundred, I have no problem with that.
I just think that they created a whole situation, and they knew it was going to come back and get them.
And it's
just starting with this Northwestern thing, and they unionizing and all that. So they trying to lock they stuff down officially. And
that's
going to
backfire. That's going to backfire on them.
Why you say that?
Because it's a situation how you want to, you know how we union and they want to unionize everything.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to figure out what these guys, what do you think they're going to gain out of this? Tell me what you think they're going to gain out of this.
I think, like, because what I think they're going to gain out of it, I think they're going to gain out of it not a paycheck per se, but they're going to gain out of it, I guess, respect. Like, say, you respect what I do. I'm a football player for this university, but I am more like an employee because I have to get up at a certain time, I have to be at practice at a certain time, I have to be at class at a certain time, I have to have certain grades for my classes, right, so I can be able to play football. So when I go to practice at a certain time, okay, so it's everything is kind of like around the clock. You're on a schedule. You're like an employee. You're like a worker. You know what I'm saying? So if I'm doing stuff that workers do, why can't I be compensated? And I'm not mad at them for that.
Right, I'm not mad at them. But what type of pay are they going to get from this?
That's the $50,000 million question right there.
See, that's all I'm going to say.
How are you going to compensate the? And see, this is just for Northwestern University. It's just for the football and the basketball players.
Exactly.
They're the only ones that are going to be able to be unionized. So now you're kind of like creating a divide now between, like, what about the baseball team?
The soccer team, or the lacrosse team, or the water polo,
whatever. You know what I'm saying? What about them? So now
the women basketball team don't even get in this, right? Or is it just the men's basketball team?
I'm not sure. I think they should. We was talking about that yesterday. I think they should. Why not? They bring look at what's on TV right now. The women's Final Four. Look how big they got over the years. You serious? Yeah, they deserve compensation as well. Now, I don't know how they're going to break down this compensation about, as far as, like you said, the amount, who deserves what and how much, because how much is the University of Kentucky basketball going to pay as a difference from Florida State football? Who's going to pay that? You know what I mean? And then you got, like, Butler, Creighton, St. John's. How much are they going to pay?
You know the big five schools or the big schools that they consider biggest schools, you know, the money that they're intaking. It's all about the money that they're intaking. They look at the money that these schools are making. I think they said, I don't know, I think they posted in that article, Ollie's making the least amount of money, you know, as a coach. It's going to be next year, I guess after the championship, he's due a big pay raise. Which I'm saying, okay, but my thing about the pay is, how many guys you think, now using Shabazz and the P, I'm not using him as an example, what would you think his GPA is?
Oh, I don't know.
Something, it could be, now his GPA could be a 2.6 because he just barely,
it also could be a 3.6.
Right, I'm just using him as an example, and it could be a 2.6.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm just using him as an example, and we know, if you know, 2.6, even though it's like, I did well in school, compared to that you think a 2.6, a C average is great. I'm graduating, I'm about to make money. I don't agree on giving these guys. It's like, you know, you got a scholarship, you got to maintain a 3.0 to keep your scholarship, or 3.5. Some scholarship requires you to keep these certain grades to keep your scholarship money. So is it fair to say that these guys got to keep a certain grade to keep this money?
It's going to be some kind of stipulation, because everybody's not going to make the cut. It's going to be some kind of stipulation that's going to say, well, you're going to have to do X, Y, and Z before you can get this, you know, get this money. You know what I mean? And then that goes into the graduation rates that the coaches and the schools had prior. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I definitely agree with they should have some kind of – it should be some kind of situation where they have to achieve some kind of grade to get the money to be on the team. Because you already have to achieve some kind of grade point average to be on the team. So why can't you keep that and just, you know, and get paid for it if that's what you want to do? It shouldn't be a problem.
And the same thing with union. You know how with union, most companies, I guess, they have where some people have to do the performance review.
Mm-hmm.
So these athletes who are unionized, they got to go through these performance review.
I would say do whatever a union does.
Right. So I'm assuming, like, you know, there's so much stuff that you got to do, which I'm trying to figure out. This is going to be so interesting to see how
they're going to get the how they going to get the money to pay their union dues.
Right. So I'm trying to figure out. You have to. It's unbelievable.
No.
It's unbelievable.
How they going to get the money to pay their union dues? Brother, hey.
Right.
Hey, it is what it is. But, I mean, that's where we're headed, man, as far as, you know, sports is concerned. It's all about, you know, they say, you know, it's about what happens on the field of play and on the court or whatever. Nah, it's about what happens in the cash register and in the wallet. That's what happens right there. You think that, you see how much money the NCAA made last night?
Oh, yeah.
From that, you know what I mean? From Final Four and all that good stuff right there. They good bread right now. You know what I'm saying?
You said television money, a lot of money.
On TV right now. Look at this place. They packed. It's packed in there. The women's Final Four. Are you serious? So, again, man, you know, you're watching these examples of this excess, you know what I mean, as far as spending money, making money, and getting money, but none of it is funneling, trickling down to the most important people, and that's the athletes, the players who actually play the game. And, you know, then when you start paying them, their amateur status is gone.
Okay, this is somebody else brought up this per se.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got athletes who come from the inner city, you know, with those, struggling family, you know, whatever, in their sophomore. Yeah, and this guy made example about, you know, family members already cashing in money because they got the superstar son. You know, you got mother on one side pulling in something, the father on the other side, because now they're going to have a cash cow.
Mm-hmm.
Because this son is about to make some money, go away to school. And then somebody brought up the thing about their parents being able to fly to see if they go to, say if they go to Michigan, they live in New Jersey. Should they be able to have money to fly their parents to watch them play a couple of games?
If the parents don't have the money, if the parents don't have the means, then why not? I think they should.
I'm not sold on that. I mean, it's just something about that. It's just something about...
I don't see nothing wrong with that.
It's just something about...
If the parents have the means to do it, then they shouldn't, you know, come out of their pocket. You know what I mean? If they have the means, they can fly themselves. But if the parents don't have the means, they come from in the city or whatever, then help them out. I don't see anything wrong with that. And then I don't see nothing wrong with the idea that Steve Spurrier had. Steve Spurrier had an idea. Well, yeah, he'd say he'd take money out of his own pocket and pay the players like $200 a week or whatever the case may be. That could have came up to like about $14,000, which is chump change to him. And it was like they shot that idea down. You know, so however they want to do it, they want to make everything so above the board with a common sense idea. They don't even want to hear nothing about no common sense. You know, so I don't understand. You know, you even got coaches that's willing to come out of their own pocket, and the NCAA says, no, you can't do that. So I don't know where we're headed as far as that's concerned. We're in the building, man. After Further Review is in the house. 646-200-3838 is the master dial, man. Press 1 to get in on the conversation. I got my man Big Rich holding me down. I got Miss Lavina in the building and the whole GQ Palace situation. Kia's on the line with me, man. Let's get it popping. The Yankees today, Kia, they ain't look too hot.
They ain't look hot at all. They were roasted and they were toasted.
Yeah, yeah. Ivanova kind of gave up.
He got slaughtered.
You know, those days happen, you know what I'm saying? But
I'm glad it's happening now and instead of September or October, you know.
I just got a funny feeling, man.
Stop having that funny feeling. I don't have no funny feeling. I'd rather, it's happening now.
Look, we our run differential, we minus 9. So that means we have given up 9 more runs than we scored. And our offense hasn't really come to life yet. So we're treading water right now. But I think that again, we have to, you know, definitely pitch because we scored 5 runs today. You know what I mean?
Wow.
But we just gave up 14. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the offense was there, but the pitching wasn't. So, I mean, you know, we got to definitely step up. You know what I mean? I'm liking what I'm seeing so far. Teixeira's hurt again. You know what I mean? So, I don't know what to say about
him. You saw Robinson. They about to put Robinson on a 15-day disabled.
Yeah. Yep. They put David Robinson on the 15-day DL. You know what I mean? And again, like, you know, nobody's running away with the division. Tampa Bay is still, you know, we actually tied for first place right now. So I can't be too mad. You know what I'm saying?
I'm glad it's happening now. And then, like, let them do what they got to do. But I don't have any concerns or worries right now. Mm-hmm. Nova got blocked. Now he go back and look at this tape and see when he went in the dugout and saw these runs put up on earned runs on his name, on his scorecard, you know.
No
I'm
doubt.
I'm like, oh, my God, this is it.
You know what made my day last week, yo? Phillip, I was watching the game, and Phillip Hughes was pitching for Minnesota, and he was getting cracked.
Mm.
I was like, see, I told you. See? Phillip Hughes is a garbage dude. They have to tip off for UConn and Connecticut. Connecticut wins the tip off. Phillip Hughes is a bum, yo. Somebody's trying to tell me about Phillip Hughes. He going to Minnesota and go get cracked. Word up, man. But, yeah, the Yankees, they're 4-4 right now. You know what I'm saying? We're doing what we got to do. But we got to score some more runs. He gets a better pitcher. Tanaka's pitching tomorrow, making his Yankee Stadium debut and all that. You know, I'm looking forward to him doing his thing, you know, and pitching and having a nice game, pretty decent game. As long as I'm pitching this decent, we're going to be all right.
He just got roasted today. It's all right.
Look at the Miami Marlins, Joe. 5-2 coming out of nowhere. Well, all their games is at home. But they scoring a lot of runs. And they're doing it with, you know, kind of a patchwork offense. Giancarlo Stanton is the biggest bat that they have in their lineup. You know what I mean? They do have two of the best players in baseball with Giancarlo Stanton and Jose Fernandez. But, yeah, the Miami Marlins are doing their little early season run thing. They're doing their little early season run thing. I'm not really surprised by nothing else that's going on right now. It's still early, first week of the season. I won't have the top 10 out probably for another week. 2 weeks or so, let them get into the season. But I'm liking my Yankees right now. We're doing what we gotta do right now. You know, and that's basically that right now. We can do our thing and keep it moving and just rock with the season. Today is the 40th anniversary of Hank Aaron hitting his 715th home run.
I saw that.
You know what I mean? And I had said earlier when we first came on the air, No doubt. Today's a real big sports day. I remember where I was, man, when he hit that home run. I was at my grandmother's house. We was watching the game, and I didn't take in the significance of it. I'm 8 years old, man. You know what I'm saying? My grandmother and my grandfather, they was really excited and hyped, like hyped and charged, like what? Okay, you know what I mean? But now 40 years later. To see, you know, and learn about what he went through, okay, you know, to get to that point, you know what I'm saying, where, you know, it's the hate mail and, you know, the death threats and all that craziness right there.
Wow.
It just makes you appreciate it more 40 years later. I was a little kid when that went down, but I remember it. I definitely remember, you know, where I was and remember that moment and all of that. But, yeah, it was just, you know, to learn
that's
years
good.
Later about what he was dealing with, huh?
I said, that's great. You remember where you was. And,
yeah,
you know.
I remember, definitely. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But,
it's
definitely something that you learn and something you learn about because, you know, it was like in the times that we're living in right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's breaking this record and certain people didn't like it and they let him know under no uncertain terms, we're not messing with you. You know what I'm saying? And you know, how it made him, turned him into a different person and all that good stuff right there. That's the bell right there. You're listening to After Further Review on GQ Palace Radio. We're in the building. The mayor's in the house, live and direct. I got Mr. Hollywood in the building. What's good, my dude? Welcome to the biggest show. What's happening? What's good with you?
What's good, brother?
Everything, man. Everything is good right now, man, except for the Yankees right now, man.
Don't be worried, brother. We'll be all right.
We took one. I had a seat to the game, man. I had a ticket,
oh, really?
Man. Yeah, my man had one for me in a suite 211A, man.
I'm mad, bro.
But
you were disappointed.
Yeah, I was very disappointed. He hit me like about 10:30 this morning, talking about what you doing at 1:00. I said, "What you mean?" He said, "I got tickets to the game." I said, "What game?" He said, "The Yankees." I was like, "What?"
You ain't doing nothing now.
He tickets to the suite.
You ain't doing nothing now at that time.
I'd
rather you make yourself available no matter
man.
What.
It's all good, though. But what's up, though, man? We took one today, man. 14-5, man. Ivan Nova got, he got punched around a little bit. What's your opinion on that, man?
Well, spring training is over. The little boys is out. The little boys went back to school to play, and the big boys stepped back up to the plate, and Nova, hey, it is what it is. Nova got roughed up today. What I was happy about is finally we got two home runs again today. I mean, I don't know what's going on with our bats. But, it's a big difference between spring training and regular season. I mean, simple as that. I was not happy with Nova's performance today.
Oh, awful.
Terrible. Terrible.
He got roasted. He got toasted.
Yeah. Your man pitched tomorrow to Hollywood.
No doubt.
Your man is on the bump tomorrow. Listen, that's the bell. You know what it is? It means we got another caller on the line. We got Alfonso May in the building. What's good, man? Welcome to the bigger show. What's the deal?
What's going on, brother? Just thought I'd join tonight, man. Enjoying what I'm hearing, man. I thank you for reaching out and allowing me to be a part of the further review.
No doubt, man. No doubt, man. Love is love all the time, man. You know, we get it in over here, man. You know what I'm saying? We get it in over here. I just like to be serious about it. You know what I mean? Talk to like-minded people who really have their own opinion. You know what I mean? Instead of something that they, heard on ESPN or something like that to make them sound like they know what they're talking about. Because sports heads know what sports heads are talking about. You understand what I'm saying? So that's
man,
what it
no
is.
Doubt. No
so,
doubt.
So yeah, man, we're talking right now. We're talking a little baseball or whatever, but we also doing a potpourri tonight where anybody can talk about whatever topic they want to touch on. So if there's anything you want to talk about, just holler, man. Let it be known. You got the floor.
I just want to talk about, man, we got a couple of those so-called sports heads, man, like the other day with Justin Verlander. He preached a pretty good game to me and from a lot of other knowledgeable sports folks. And because he lost 3-1, we got people talking about, he's folding and he's not as good as he wanted to be or he should be or what have you, man. And it's crazy to how six games into the season, he's folding. And actually, he had a great game the other day, man.
I hear you. And to that, I would just say, man, are you a Tiger fan?
I'm a downright Tiger fan, bro.
Okay. So you know what, though?
Shut up, Pierre.
So you know what? But you know what, though? You just have to be like, you see it from a different... You're looking out the same window, but you see it in a different picture. That's all you can say to that, man. You see it for what it is. You know Verlander, at the end of the day, Verlander's going to be right there. You know what I mean? He's just getting off to a slow start. It happens. You know what I mean? And for
exactly.
People to say after one game, oh, he's no good and he's garbage, I'm guilty of saying the same thing. I say it about CeCe Sabathia. But I've been saying that about CeCe Sabathia for the last 2 years.
CeCe alone.
You know what I'm saying? I've been saying that about CeCe the last 2 years. I don't see where people get off talking about Justin Verlander like Justin Verlander is a bum. Or he's had seasons where he lost 7 to 8 or 9 games. I don't see that.
I mean, and not only that, this is a guy that just came off surgery, I want to say, back January, February. And for somebody to come in, he had groin surgery. So
right.
he looked sharp to me the other day, just that my man just picked better one. And number two, our back the other day wasn't hitting. Whereas the day before, we put up 10 runs, and the day before that, we put up 8 runs. So, I mean, you know, these people, like you said, they listen to Stephen A. Smith, they listen to Skip Bayless.
Right.
And they form their opinions, man, and it's sickening, man. And again, I thank you for even inviting me on to a show like
no
this,
doubt,
man.
No doubt,
man.
Appreciate you, man. Yeah, appreciate you for calling. And as far as Stephen A. Smith is concerned, he's another one with me, man. He picked Kentucky to win, and then he wanted to change his game. And yes, he picked Kentucky to win.
I never liked him.
I love Stephen A. Smith.
I used to like Stephen A. Smith, man. I used to like, but now I think he's just turned into like a pompous windbag, yo.
He tried to use
these big words and articulate like he's talking over people's heads. You're not talking over my head, son. I don't know who you're trying to impress, but I'm not hating on you. I'm going by evidence that I have. I have evidence of last year when you flip-flopped in the playoffs, okay? You said you was rocking with the Bulls, and when Luol Deng got hurt, you switched to the Nets in Game 7, and the Bulls won. So that's exhibit A.
But you remember last year when San Antonio won, and they went back to Miami. Oh, Miami quit. There's this, there's that, there's this and another. And then come Game 7, I knew it all along that Miami was going to take this series to a Game 7 and we would be right where we are. Tony Parker and Tim Duncan are 67 years old apiece, and they just can't do it. This is just going to be Miami's game. So Stephen A.
He lost a lot of cool points with me, man. I thought he was that dude once upon a time, man. But he lost a lot of cool points with me. But anyway, man, we rocking out over here, man. After further review, man, we get down how we get down. You know what I'm saying? Everybody has a chance to voice their opinion. And if you're coming with an opinion, I hope you got something to back it up, because you will get ate up. You will get screamed on. And that's how it goes down. After further review, it goes down hard body. And we give you a chance to speak your mind, just like my man Alfonso May. He calling in on the check-in. I got Hollywood in the building. I got Kia in the building. The lines is lit up. Press 1 to get in on the conversation. Let me know what's on your mind. You got the mayor in the house rocking out on a Tuesday, son. After further review, you need to get on it. So, yo, Alfonso, man, so as far as, you know, your Tigers are concerned, you're in first place. Were you supposed to be at 4-1? How are they looking to you so far? How you like Ian Kinsler so far?
I think it was a great pickup. I mean, I think Ian Kinsler was a great pick, and considering my man, the shortstop in Glacius got hurt, I think Gonzalez was a solid pickup as well. I mean, we came out the gate stroking the ball real good. I mean, 162 games, so you can't expect them to hit, get 9, 10, 13, 12 hits a game or score 8, 10 runs a game. But I think we're looking solid. I think we'll run away with the Central again this year, and I think you'll see us I think you'll see us back in the championship series. One second, I got a word of advice for you, fam.
You are going to love Jabba Chamberlain. You are going to get a kick out of Jabba Chamberlain. I'm telling you right now. That's all I want to say.
The mustache man.
And thank you for bringing that up. I forgot to even add him. We picked up. We got a Yankee on our squad.
Are you bragging?
I'm not bragging at all. I'm glad that we got him. You know what I mean? We needed it.
There's a reason why ex-Yankees are called ex-Yankees. I could just leave it like that.
That's cool. I understand that. But, no, real talk, no, I like the Tigers' chances. We're looking solid. We're looking solid. So, I mean, again, it's 162 games. We're five games in. So that leaves us with, what, 157?
157,
so.
Yeah. But you know what, man? I got some more bad news for you, Mr. Alfonso May.
I got formal with him.
So you know, Mr. Alfonso May. I got some more bad news for you.
I'm listening. Go ahead.
I got formal with him, Mr. Hollywood. Mr. Alfonso May. I got some bad news for you.
Last year,
I picked the Cleveland Indians to make a run, right? And I told somebody who said remain nameless that the Cleveland Indians was going to give Detroit a run for their money at the end of the season. And what ended up happening? Terry Francona is no joke, right? Follow me.
Not at all. Good,
I picked, so follow me. Listen. Hold on. I picked the Cleveland Indians to win the division this year. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
And I picked Kansas City.
And Mr. Hollywood picked Kansas City Royals.
Kid,
you
got Royals too.
I don't know who that is, but the Kansas City Royals, are you serious? Hey, listen, the Kansas City Royals ain't no joke, man. The Kansas City Royals is that sexy pick, my G.
James, big James Shields.
I just like Cleveland a little bit better.
Yeah.
Kid's over there dying.
My motto is, every year, fall flat on their face.
All together now, fall flat on their face. There you go. Yo, listen, man. Listen, we rocking out, man. After further review, it's 9 o'clock, man, on the East Coast and all that, man. I got my man, Mr. Hollywood, in the building holding me down. I got Alfonso May on the check-in. I appreciate you, fam. And I got Kia in the building, man. We do what we do. 646-200-3838 is the mathematics. Press 1 to get in on the conversation. Alfonso May,
Mayor,
you got a comment on the game?
You got a comment on the game last night?
Hey, Mayor, I'm looking forward to Saturday night, baby.
Yeah. We're going to touch on that. We're going to touch on that. It's going down. We're going to touch on that. Kia, what was you saying?
I said let him know who we got winning the World Series.
Not Detroit.
Mr. Alfonso May?
Yes, let
Mr.
him know
Alfonso
who we
May,
have.
I got some more bad news for you.
What's the bad news?
I got some more bad news for you.
What's that?
The Yankees going to win the World Series.
I said I wasn't going to drink this month, but you about to make me go get a drink, bro.
I say, hey, Mr. Alfonso May, see how you got me all professional with him. We got to let him down easy. I might come and deliver you that bottle for you, just for you. And it's gonna say product of the New York Yankees.
Okay,
right.
We'll see.
So wait a minute, are we really led to believe that Max Scherzer is gonna produce anywhere close to those numbers
last
year?
Max Scherzer didn't take that money. That's a sign right there.
Hey, was that Mr. Hollywood that made that statement? That was Mr. Hollywood, sir. Let me ask you this. Mr. What's his name? Tanaka, whatever his name is?
Masahiro Kanishiwa Tanaka.
Get it right.
Let me get it right. Did you see his first album?
Yes, I did. I was happy with it.
And I seen that bomb that Melky hit. I seen it.
No. What you saw was energized, nervous, lobbed the ball up. You know what was the best play of that game?
That was a moonshot, D.
Don't worry about it.
That was a moonshot. But hey, Hollywood, tell Mr. Alfonso May how Tanaka settled down after that.
I don't have to tell him. I'll look at his record
okay.
there. Did we have anybody when he gave up that home run call up and say Tanaka looked like he's done, like they did with Verlander?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I can't recall it.
Okay.
Didn't Mr. Tanaka leave after the fourth inning? He pitched seven innings. He got the W, baby.
This one for the kids.
Yes,
this one for the kids. Wu-Tang for the kids, baby. Wu-Tang. Listen, you got Tanaka mixed up with Nova.
No way.
Yeah, Tanaka struck out. What was it? 8 or 7? I forgot now.
I think it was either 8 or 6.
No, it was 7. It was either 7 or
Wait
8.
A minute.
Okay.
Wait,
7
innings. You said 8 or 7.
8 or 6. He said 8 or 6. Yeah, I'm done.
Yeah, okay. It was either 8 or 6.
Okay. I thought I had 7 in there.
Nah. No, that was Mr. Hollywood, Mr. May. I said he either had 8 or 7 strikeouts. But all I got to tell you is this. If you watch Tanaka, you had to be impressed. I was very excited when he gave up that hit. And he turned around. And he turned around and started cursing in Japanese on the mound.
He was saying Toyota. He was not saying Mitsubishi.
My boy took out the chopsticks and was going crazy. Like, oh, shut up,
listen. He took the soy sauce packets. He cracked the soy sauce packets open and put them in his eyes and got busy. Let's get this done.
Hollywood,
yeah. You can't front, man. That was a moonshot that Mel.
Hey, bro.
You didn't see Tanaka's mouth.
You didn't read his mouth when he gave up the home run.
No.
He was like, sayonara.
Oh, yes. Sayonara, konnichiwa, and all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but yeah, he settled down and did his numbers. But yeah, Mr. Alfonso May is going down. The Yankees won't be in the building. I expect to see you in late September or October if the Cleveland Indians don't win the division already.
Cleveland, I got Detroit finishing third.
Oh, my God. Have you saw what the Cleveland Indians did the last 2 seasons? They folded down the stretch.
What did they do last season?
They didn't win the division,
but they was right there. It was right there. Terry Francona's not going to let them fold, man.
What a young team at that. A young team last year, too.
Terry Francona's not going to let them fold.
Justin Matheson
is getting better.
You said they were right there, right? They were right there.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I was right there with the Mega Millions last night, but I didn't get it.
Okay, you're right.
Oh, shoot.
I would give you some applause on that, but you're a first-time caller. Top callers don't get the applause button.
I still got to wait for that paycheck now, man. I still got to wait for that paycheck.
Oh my lord. Hey, listen. I need two minutes, man. Not even 2 minutes to talk about the Masters, right quick, yo. The Masters is going down this week, man. Starts on Thursday, man. No Tiger Woods, so I don't really see what the use of the talk about it. But we're gonna give it a little airtime or whatever.
Ticket prices are down.
I can imagine the ticket price. That tells you all you need to know right there.
Yeah, I was like, wow. Nobody sell a ticket.
Tiger don't affect the game, then what else do you need to know?
Did you hear Michael Kay the other day?
Yeah.
Michael Kay went off. He went off on Tiger. He really. And you know what? It was well-deserved, too, because...
What did he say, man?
Well, you know, I mean... Every time, you know the athletes that's on steroids because they break down after a while. A lot of them go on a disablement for a long period of time. And Michael Kay was questioning if Tiger Woods was using steroids because he's always hurt now. We don't talk about it. No one talks about it.
That's a good point about the steroids, but damn, Tiger Woods ain't never been over 136 pounds.
Let me tell you something, bro. They have stuff out here right now that's not even bulking people up anymore. It's just giving them some natural powers inside of them. And, I mean, you know, the more money you have, the better stuff you get. We don't know what Tiger's doing.
Okay, that's my point. Now that you say that's very interesting, man. You know, I cracked jokes before with a couple of other people that when his wife... You know, swung that 9-iron at him and broke that glass.
That's what he needed, the natural powers.
Word of mother. Trying to tell you.
Oh, my God. Now that's some real shit there.
Yeah.
All right, easy on that, my dude. We got kids listening.
I feel personally... You know, I mean, I just watch what's going on in the major sports. And when I say major sports, I'm talking about football, basketball, and baseball. But, you know, we don't hear. It was a shock to me with Lance Armstrong with the steroids. I didn't think they'd even cared in that kind of sport.
That was a shock to you, son?
The reason why I say it was a shock to me is that it was brought up. That's what I mean by it being a shock.
Because
as far as professional athletes using drugs to get an edge on people, I think that's an epidemic in all sports. But it doesn't get a lot of publicity in other sports because, you know, we don't really pay a mind to these sports the way we would with basketball, baseball, and football. So it's not a lot of media coverage on these topics. Tiger Woods, if you ask me, I'm willing to bet everything I have that at some point in time he's been on performance enhancing drugs. I don't know. Breaking down too much,
man.
He's breaking down. You never know, but you never know. You never know.
He makes a very good point. I mean,
And Michael K. I heard what Michael K. had said. I was shocked when Michael K. said that I himself. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
The last 3 or 4 years, he's missed two matches, hasn't he?
No, this one right here.
And the injuries, and Kia, the injuries that he's getting is consistent with steroids.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
That's what he was talking about. That's what he said. That's exactly what he pointed out. But my thing was,
Michael K. is putting two and three together.
Yeah. But you know what's so crazy about it? I'm going to tell you what's so crazy about it. If that would have been a story about, let's say hypothetical, that would have been a story about, well, David Wright, you know, I'm thinking he's on steroids, and Michael K. would have said that, that would have been picked up by every other news media outlet, and that would have been the story of the night. It was like Michael K. said that, and that was the end of it. I didn't hear anyone else mention anything about that. After Michael K. said it.
They don't want the truth coming out. I mean, shit, they don't want the truth coming out.
Come on, man, be easy, man.
I'm gonna have to throw a red card
at you, my G. Next one is a yellow card. We put you in the penalty box for 15 minutes.
I apologize, man. When it comes to sports, I get passionate and I do apologize.
We got the shorties listening to the show, man. You know what I mean? So we try to keep everything on that type level. It's all good. But the next one, man, you gotta go to the penalty box, man. Real talk.
Okay, penalty box.
We got a penalty box. We got a penalty box for people like you.
Okay.
Listen, you got to keep it clean, bro, because Key is our friend, the Spanish guy, you know, who fixes our phone for. He's listening tonight for the first time.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Jose Fernandez Escobar Ocasio.
Oh, hey, man, speaking of Fernandez, that kid from Florida, the pitcher, oh, man, he is the truth.
Yes.
Oh, he's the truth.
Hey, hold up. Quick score update right quick. UConn 29, Notre Dame 20, 6:48 to play in the first half. Yeah, that kid from Miami, Jose Fernandez, is the truth, man.
Oh.
He does his same thing, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Wow.
I watched him pitch. I think it was opening night in Miami. He did his thing, man. He had his moms and his grandmother in the crowd or whatever. And I think he was kind of nerves too, man, because he was kind of wild in the beginning. You know what I mean? But he got it together and did his thing. But I think he's one of the best. He's one of the best doing it right now, man.
I haven't seen him play
since
yet. I'm gonna watch.
Mm-hmm. Next time. He's real good, Key. He's really composed. Yeah. That's what I like about him. He's composed.
Doesn't get shook. He doesn't get shook easily.
I tell you something, Florida. I was watching Florida team. Florida doesn't have such a bad. Miami does not have such a bad team the way I thought they did. They have some good young upcoming innocent. I like that kid.
You know, we look at that, and I heard Mayor say that earlier, but how strong? Now they're looking good. Remember how we lacked it? The Yankees had those no-names. Remember the no-names we were doing?
And by the 4th of July, when they're 25 games out of first place, you're going to be like, oh, man, damn.
You never know.
On the fourth of July, when they 25 games out of first place.
Yeah, you want a phone?
Yeah.
But yeah, man.
I'm not sold on anybody yet.
It's a lot of good young players out there doing their thing, man. You know.
Yeah.
You know, again, I like you know, I like Adam Jones, you know, from Baltimore. You know
yeah.
what I mean? I like the kid from Cleveland, the second baseman, Jason Kipnis. So I like him.
Mm-hmm. That was a nice contract,
you know,
too, they gave him.
Yeah, yeah, they gave him some money.
Yeah.
That's what's up. They gave him some money. You know what I
yeah.
mean? I kind of like the kid from St. Louis, the second baseman, until he got picked off in the World Series last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In the game. Colton Wong, I liked him. You know what
I like Salate,
you know,
man.
Look at Billy Hamilton, man. Billy Hamilton is not stealing a lot of bases, son. He was supposed to steal like 200 bases, yo.
What's going on with that?
Last year?
He's not hitting. And he's getting thrown out. I've seen him get thrown out twice already.
Yeah, what did he steal last year? He was down last year.
He was a rookie last year. Go ahead.
I like Salate, man. I like Salate.
Who?
I think Salate.
Oh, for the Yankees. Yeah.
I like him, man.
Yeah, he's touching the ball something serious, ain't he?
Yes, sir. Yes.
And he's always doing something. He's action packed when he's up. I like that.
Did you hear Billy Crystal yesterday? Here, you heard Billy Crystal yesterday when he was
yeah,
doing Bob Shepard. Michael K. told him, say, yeah, pretend you Bob Shepard. We know you do a great Bob Shepard interview. He said, now batting, third baseman, Gregorius Salarte, I think.
You're gonna get his name right.
Hey, folks, looks like he's about to be a runaway, man.
Well, Connecticut?
They just scored about 8 unanswered points. They up 12.
Man. Yeah, man. They about to give it to Notre Dame, man. You know what
wow.
I mean?
I like Notre Dame team, too.
UConn is doing their numbers. What do you think as far as, you know, Gino Auriemma, man? Is he, you know, deserving of all the praise that he's getting as far as, you know, getting his teams to always, you know, be in the national championship hunt?
No.
Wow, really?
I was watching today, and the more I listen to him, the more I don't like him. I just feel like, you know, what the girls did before in the past, you know, the recruiting is so easy for them. I mean, the best of the best is going to want to come there. He's not coaching them like he's some kind of great coach. He's coaching them like I would say what Phil Jackson did a couple of years ago with Chicago, when and like what Joe Torre did a couple of years ago, 1 year with the Yankees. I mean, we had made teams, and you know, when you have a made team like that, I mean, anybody could come coach that team. Be honest with you, man. I mean, you go on the sideline right now and get those girls to win. I mean, it's not like he's doing something great where he's like the greatest coach of all time.
Yeah, right.
If you ask me, Pat Summitt was a better coach than him. If you ask me too,
wow.
I think this girl here from Notre Dame, I think she's a great coach. I think she's better than Gino. Yeah, I think she's better than Gino. I really do. That's my personal opinion. I mean, I could be wrong. But
you make a great coach. I mean, you make a great point, but you know who else I like? I like Vivian Stringer as well.
Exactly. People who have teams, I mean, they're good teams, but they're not great teams. They're not
great
dominating teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
What about Kim Mulkey at Baylor?
Or Tara
Vanderveer at Stanford?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
These are coaches. These are coaches, man. These are coaches.
Okay.
These are people who, you know, they know the X's and O's. They know game strategies and stuff like that.
Each of those coaches had a player, though, that could get the job done, though. You know
yeah, a player. Connecticut got all players. I mean, their 12th man on their bench could be starting for most other colleges.
He said they 12th man. He said they 12th man.
I was just having a Don Imus moment.
The opinions expressed by Mr. Hollywood, that reflective of GQ Palace Radio or After Further Review. Send all your emails to Mr. Hollywood.
12th man.
Why?
He said the 12th man. Yes. Hey, hit him with the double shot, yo. Hurry up, man. Come on,
did we talk before?
Yes. Did we do what?
Okay,
did we
then.
Did we talk a little bit of NFL?
Yeah, we could get some NFL because we're gonna definitely touch on the fights. I ain't forget about you, Hollywood.
Yeah, I'm about to break. I'm about to put the system on hold for a minute.
I just want to talk about the Chris Johnson situation.
Okay, go ahead.
Who you think is a likely possibility next week? Because he's going to make a decision next week.
I mean, you know what? In my heart of hearts, I would like to see Chris Johnson with my Buccaneers, but what do I know? I think the Jets are very, if the Jets got Chris Johnson, that would look, you know, make them seem like they're serious players about trying to win, about doing something.
So what about the likelihood? Just the likelihood, him and DeMarco Murray teaming up in the backfield
in Dallas?
Yep.
Why not?
That's what I'm just saying. Yeah.
Why not?
That would take a lot of the heat off of that bum quarterback they got.
Alfonso, say that one more time.
It would take a lot of heat off of that bum quarterback they
have. There you go. That's it.
It would definitely make a good run game.
Yep. You know, but I mean, now, how are they going to make up for that on the defensive side of the ball?
They just got rid of Ware. I mean,
they got a boy. They got to steal that boy.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, you could potentially
have 2,000. They're going to score a lot of points. Then they're going to give up a lot of points.
I think
they're going to try to figure out they're definitely going to have to try to figure a plug substitute for Ware, because that would just. D. Ware would just be absolutely the beast on the defensive side. That's a hard shoot.
And I think it's the same thing
with the Patriots. The Patriots, when you remember what Wilfer said, trade me? The Belichick is not crazy. They know they cannot find nobody.
That's
going to
take his place.
That's
right. That's right.
To fill that shoe. So they gave him what he wanted. They told him, no, we're going to do whatever you want us to do. He held them hostage. He went on vacation, and when he got back from vacation, they had an answer for him.
And Keenan, you make a great point there. I mean, I look at it like this. You had Jared Allen, and you had the boy from Chicago, Julius Peppers,
who hit
the free agent market. Granted, they've been in the league for some years, and granted, they're a little older now, but you let Ware go, And do nothing about that. You don't fill that void. I mean, how are you telling your loyal fans that
you're serious about winning the Super Bowl, right?
Even on a bad season
last year, he still was something in that sack. He had about 14 sacks.
He missed about four games and still had 12, 14 sacks, didn't he?
Yes, he was great. I just don't understand that whole lot of cutting the weight. I never understood that.
I'm about to touch on a crazy topic, Ken. You know how bad I go hard on these sorry Lions here in Detroit. How about your boy Sue not showing up to the volunteer? He's one of the only ones that didn't show up to the volunteer. That's going to be very interesting
when it comes down to his. They don't have no money. And Dominican Sue
got Jay-Z in his ear, man.
He got the Lions by their neck.
Jay-Z is in his ear, man. That's all I can say to that.
That's all you can say, because he got the Lions by their neck. They can't move, they can't breathe, they can't do nothing.
And they're constantly signing backup. They just signed another cornerback who's played a total of 32 games and started 5. He had 30 tackles last year. Are you kidding me?
Mm.
And then they got Fairley to worry about, because his fifth option comes up. Now, what you going to do about it's going to be very interesting down in Detroit.
So you mean to tell me the only one that's going to be left is Ziggy?
Right.
So they had Dominican Sue, Nick Fairley, and the other dude that left. Chris Averill. He left.
Yep.
So if Dominican Sue be gone, Fairley be gone, and then you mean to tell me the only one they're going to have left is Ziggy, the dude that they didn't want?
Yep.
I remember they didn't even want Ziggy. They didn't want him.
They didn't even know about him.
The only reason they learned about Ziggy is because they had such a terrible record, and the team with the terrible record coached the Northwest game down in Alabama.
And you know what? Because Ziggy don't have a lot of film tape on him because he doesn't. But they were all, you right, they were all crying about they don't want him.
They was, they was crying like babies.
They were crying and whining.
They did not want him. I said, I saw him on tape. He looks all right. And they just went left with it. Like, yo, we don't need this dude.
And now, Ziggy the man.
Somebody mentioned April leaving. They give April the middle finger. What does he do? He goes sign and he goes right on and win a Super Bowl.
Yep.
There you go.
Yep.
But you know what, though? I think Jim Caldwell is going to be good for them, though, man.
Oh, yeah. He's going to be good for them.
You know what I'm saying?
And I think
they're still 2 years out, though. They're still at least two years out. I mean, with this suit situation, with this family situation.
They let
Willie Young go to Chicago. They're hit for a couple of years. I like that.
It's going to be very interesting with that money because Sue has them by the neck because they can't wait.
He has them at his beck and call. And yeah. I think he's going to walk away this year. That's the end of the year.
UConn 43, Notre Dame 38.
Wow.
It's going to get really good.
About 20 seconds left in the first half.
You saw Burleson went to the Browns, and he said on his statement, he's there to, like, mentor Doc Thornton. I'm like, really?
He didn't say nothing about he's there to go to the playoffs.
Right. I said, really? That's what you're going to do, really? Yeah, okay. I say, yeah, okay. But you're right about that. Because Nick Fairley, I don't think that fifth option is almost due. And it's going to be very interesting.
Hey, Key, are you still like Clowney as the number one pick?
I do. I do think Clowney. You know what's going to happen? Whoever Houston pick number one, if it's not Clowney, it's going to disrupt the whole draft. I don't think it's going to disrupt it.
I think it's going to be like now he wasn't the number one pick. Now how far does he drop down?
That's going to go back to the same way when you pass over Clowney. Just like teams that pass over J.J. Watt and Fred, and he slipped back into the Houston hand. Houston already know how they got J.J. Watt. Can you imagine them letting Clowney pass them by if some other team get Clowney? They've been in that situation. J.J. Watt fell right into their hands. So right there. Here they got the number one pick, and Clowney is right there.
Alfonso, would you take Jadeveon Clowney number one?
I wouldn't, and I'm gonna tell you why. There's a guy coming out of Buffalo University that I think got the best overall defensive player in this draft.
He don't fit Khalil Mack is a beast. I wish he brought to the 15th. Khalil Mack, I wish he's blocking the 15th. And Tampa Bay better stay off his back and leave him alone. If he don't belong, it's Tampa Bay.
Hey, nobody brought up your team. Why you going to bring up my team for?
Because the books are looking at Khalil Mack, too, and they don't need Khalil Mack.
That's right. If he drops down to number seven, he should be gone by the number seven pick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I kind of want us
to get a quarterback, man.
Yeah, what's name was down there? Their quarterback going down there. I don't know if he's been already. Teddy Bridgewater was down there.
I kind of want us to get a quarterback. I'm not sold on Mike Glennon, man. Real talk, man. I'm not sold on him. You know what I'm saying? Because I still think about Josh Freeman, man. Josh Freeman was supposed to be that dude.
He's down in what's the name? He's going to what's the name? I just saw the other day. And it's the same thing when I say that how they say that Texas took the quarterback first. Texas take Clowney at the number one. They got the 33rd pick. They can come back and get Bortles or another quarterback at that 33rd pick.
Bortles is going to be gone, way gone.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying. I'm just using it. I said he can get Bortles or somebody else at the 33rd. When the 33rd pick come around, they can pick a quarterback, even if it's Murray or somebody else. But if they pass Clowney up, that's their fault.
They probably end up with, like, Derek Carr or somebody like that.
That will be fine. And that will be fine.
Okay.
But to pass Clowney up at the number one spot, they're crazy. But Deion Sanders said, Texas will be fooled to pass on Manziel. Are you kidding me? He's not a number one pick.
I think that's the easy pick to make. But if you take Manziel, you're gonna have to start him. He's gonna have to start from the door. He can't sit on the
right
bench.
Right off the gate.
And if he goes to Texas, I hope he gets his head knocked clean off. That's the same way I'm about that flat pump down in Baltimore. Every time we get ready to play that flat pump, I'm ready for him to get his head knocked clean off his body.
Stop the violence in hip hop. Stop the violence.
This is them Jersey ladies.
You and ITY is a unity.
It's just something about that flat top down in Baltimore.
Wow. Okay, let's change the subject for Key and Buster Blood Vessel. Let's change the subject. Hey Hollywood, you in the building?
He said he had to do something.
I wanted to get into. I wanted to talk about the fight a little bit.
It's Saturday.
Yeah, Pacquiao and Bradley, man. I don't know, man.
They think about that rematch. That's like, you think he's ready?
I'm riding with Bradley simply because his last couple of fights, he's come on strong. He's been dominant. He's been he's actually been a totally different fighter than what we've been accustomed to because of that Pacquiao draw. And then with Pacquiao, I think Pacquiao, and this is my personal opinion, I think Pacquiao was juicing and he came off that juice when he got knocked out by Marquez. Let me finish, man. I used to box, and to go from strong weight to welterweight in 2 years is unheard of, bro. And keep that same speed, that's unheard of. That is, and that's just my opinion. But if you look at him, his Marquez, Bradley, if you look at those two fights, he didn't throw 1,000 punches around like he normally does. But all of a sudden, in his Macau, when he fought in Macau, China, he got back to being the Pac-Man he used to be after a while, throwing 1,000 punches. And then go back to early in his career when he lost those two fights early in his career. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like Pac-Man. Do I think he's one of the pound-for-pound best? By no means. But
is this Mr. May again?
Yes, it is.
This is Mr. Alfonso May.
Yes. Is Hollywood, you back in the building, Hollywood?
Yeah, I'm back, but I had to go pull something in my stomach. And then I had the nerve to come here and listen to you pretty much badmouthing my fighter, brother. Let me guess, you're a Floyd Mayweather fan, right?
Top of the line, Floyd. Money man.
No wonder.
Running man. Wait till it gets closer to May 3rd. Oh man, we gonna get it in on the Mayweather Maidana fight.
Thank
I can't
God
wait
I'm
till it gets closer. It's going down.
Thank God I'm going on vacation.
Conversation for you, sir.
So May 6th we'll be back online talking about how he dominated yet another no joke fighter. Because
we might get on the internet looking for your personal number because you didn't call in.
You know what I was thinking? You know what I was thinking going to end up happening to Mr. Alfonso May?
Mayweather going to lose, and the Tigers going to lose, and Verlander going to be on there and give up 8 runs in the first inning. You really going to lose your mind that day. I already see it coming.
And he's going to move to New Mexico.
Come on, Mike. I'm a Lobo. I'm a Lobo.
He's going to put on a Steve Alford mask.
Oh,
hey,
God, help. Oh, my God. But listen, all due seriousness, I'm really looking forward to Saturday. Timothy Bradley's a clown. I mean, he's a clown. There's no question about that. If you listen to Pacquiao on 24/7, he pretty much said that it's going to be an early knockout. And you don't hear Pacquiao talk like that often. Pacquiao always say, I'm going to give the fans what they want, which for him usually means 12 rounds of him just entertaining you with ins and outs and speed and accuracy and strength. But I'm going early to tell you, between round 2 and 5, Mr. Bradley gonna be his bell gonna be rung. I'm telling you this early. This is the only way for me, for Pacquiao, to really define a loss like that. And he know that wasn't a loss, and Bradley know it wasn't a loss. I'll never get over that picture when they announced that Bradley won that fight. He said to himself, "Wow, my God, my check did clear." Because somebody got paid off.
he said a lot of slick stuff that night.
I mean,
we gotta look at the tape to see if I won.
Come on. I mean, what is that telling you?
Listen, fam. Honestly, that fight was a travesty.
It was a joke to boxing.
That was a travesty. That was a travesty. I will admit that. There's no way in this God-given earth that Bradley won that fight. If anything, and this was a stretch, give it a draw. But there's no way
what?
Bradley won that fight.
A draw?
I said if anything, give it a draw. But
it ain't.
Bradley,
it, no, you don't. No, you don't do that either. You can't even give him a draw.
Okay.
Oh, you kidding? What is this, Etch-a-Sketch? No, draw here. Yeah, draw. Bradley won one freaking round. One. He won one round.
Mr. Hollywood about to blow a gasket.
You better know the story. I'm already blowing it.
Should I send you a nitroglycerin pill, man?
No. What you can send me is a poster of Floyd Mayweather, and I'll be more than happy to throw darts at it all day long if you don't mind. And why you're sending that picture? Send me a picture of Mr. Verlander too. I got some other things to say too. I'm gonna get some soy sauce and duck sauce and make a little combination.
And send a picture of Max Scherzer saying he don't want $140 million.
So no, he didn't turn. He didn't turn down $140 million.
$144 million.
He didn't turn this down.
It was $144 million.
He didn't turn this down. Wait a minute. Did he pull a Latrell Sprewell on me? He can't feed his family off that kind of money? Did he do that?
He pulled a Latrell Sprewell. What you expect me to do with that? I can't feed my family with that.
Oh, my God. And meanwhile, Sprewell never got another contract after that. That was too funny. But anyway.
The very next year, he was out the league.
You know what I'm saying? But, Mr. May, I wanted to ask you this, too, speaking about boxing. You know how now, which I kind of like in baseball, how with the instant replay they call New York. I mean, it comes straight from New York. Do you feel like, and I know I do, just for the simple fact of what happened with Bradley and Pacquiao, and there was other fights before that, you know, somebody got screwed out of a decision quite a few times. Do you think they should have 3 independent judges that's also watching the fight and giving their own scorecard as well somewhere else other than the ring, that they're watching it like live somewhere? And if we get down to some kind of controversy like this, maybe they could come out and overrule based on what they saw of the fight? I'm throwing that out there.
I like the idea.
Absolutely.
I like the concept of it.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
But say for example, you have a discrepancy. One says Pacquiao won the fight. One says Bradley won the fight. Now, whose card do you use?
That's a valid point as well. I mean, I like what I do like is what they did in this fight, because the fight is taking place in Las Vegas. I think they have either one Vegas judge or no Vegas judges at all. They got judges from
They just replaced the judge because one of the judges got sick. They just replaced the judges. One of the judges is from Great Britain. They had a judge from Great Britain. They had a judge from Canada, right? And then they got a judge from Nevada.
Mm.
And Kenny Bayless is going to be the referee.
Oh,
for
that no, Lord, oh, God.
Yes, Kenny Bayless is going to be the referee.
It was either, listen, I don't know who's worse, him or the guy who Zab Judah put in the choke with the throat that time. I don't know who's worse, but I can't.
But, man, listen, with the way that, you know, what Alfonso was talking about, you know, maybe that fight with Danny Garcia would have been scored a whole lot different because there's no way in the world that Danny Garcia won that fight.
Well, we need that. We need
There's
the
no
we need
way
the
Danny Garcia won that fight.
Well, that goes to my point. We really need to have something else that goes on because this is a big money sport, bro. I mean, this is a big, big, big time money sport, and
mm-hmm.
a lot of millions of dollars is lost due to outcomes and you know something. I can understand. Let me tell you something. I can understand one judge, maybe
what?
Getting something wrong, but when you get all three of them. I mean, what were you watching? I mean,
yeah,
seriously, what were you
right.
watching?
What were you looking at, yo?
Oh, for real, like, listen, if after the fight, right, and it's a funny moment, even after the fight they gave the fight to Bradley, with his interview, I would have been like one of them judges, like, really? Wait a minute, you know what? I think I did make a mistake here or something. I mean, come on. That was the one that had to be to me.
Even Jim Lampley was like, this is one of the worst decisions I ever seen in my life.
I can't believe it.
Let me put this out there. Do you all think that eventually, if Pacquiao wins tomorrow or Saturday, Floyd wins May 3rd?
Oh, here we go.
Let me ask this question, and this is a valid question. Do you think eventually these two are going to have to meet because there's not going to be anybody else out there for those two to fight?
No, somebody else.
But you know what, though? Everybody's going
to
say, so what? They're going to say, so what? They're fighting now. So what?
Floyd
quit. Nobody cares no more.
Floyd will quit.
The fight is over for that fight.
But I can tell you one thing, man. I can promise you this. If Bradley somehow wins Saturday, you could believe that Mayweather be wanting to fight Bradley. I can tell you that. But if Pacquiao wins on Saturday,
I wouldn't mind seeing that.
I wouldn't either. If he legitimately beats Manny Pacquiao, I told a lot of people, if he legitimately beats Manny Pacquiao this upcoming Saturday, I want to see him fight Bradley. I mean Mayweather. I want to see him fight.
I wouldn't mind seeing that fight.
No, because Bradley, what is Bradley, 41-0?
He
what is he, like 41-0, something like that?
If he's not undefeated, he doesn't have no more than one.
No, he's undefeated, bro. There's no
okay.
doubt about
he's
it.
Undefeated.
He's undefeated.
Yeah, but look, I can't, seriously, honestly, I mean, not taking anything away from Bradley. Why is he undefeated? I haven't seen, I watch boxing religiously. I haven't seen anything from Timothy Bradley that would suggest to me that, you know, he's an elite fighter. I don't care about records. I really don't. It's not an elite fighter.
What about
to
that?
Me.
Did you watch him when he fought Provodnikov? Did you see that fight?
No, I didn't see that
you
fight.
You didn't see that fight?
No.
You gotta watch that fight, yo. I'm not even gonna say nothing else. Yo, Hollywood, real talk. I'm not gonna say nothing else. You gotta watch that fight on demand or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta see the Bradley Provodnikov fight. And I think your question that you just asked would be answered when you watch that fight.
Okay.
I'm telling you. Because Provodnikov is the dude that nobody want to see.
Yeah.
Timothy Bradley was out on his feet. He said he had a concussion from the second round on.
Yeah, I heard about that part.
And he was out on his feet several times.
Yes. And Mr. Hollywood, you talking about a Rocky fight, my dude? I don't even want to tell you about it. You gotta see that fight.
So, Bradley, are you impressed with Timothy Bradley?
Yes, I am.
Based on that one fight?
Yes, I am.
Based on that one fight? Yes.
Yes.
I hear you.
Provodnikov was crushing him.
And I would have to agree.
If the ropes wasn't there, Timothy Bradley would have
you're like the fourth row.
Exactly. And the only
thing
I'm going to agree with you, Mayor, on that simply because of your statement, Hollywood, who has he fought to put a stamp on his career?
No, I ain't asked who he fought. I just said look back at his fights, just his whole, you know, his whole makeup during the fight. I'm not impressed by it. Like, you know, you see some fighters. You know, like I told everybody about, what's this dude name here, the one who likes to curse all the time, the heavyweight, Chris whatever. Ariola. I told everybody when he first came on the scene and he was just this big ball, I said, he's a bum. He's a bum.
So, I mean, guess who's trying to come back, son?
Who?
Guess who's trying to come back? Shannon Briggs.
Who?
Who?
Shannon Briggs.
How old is he, like 80?
Son, he cut off his dreads, right?
Oh.
He cut off his dreads. He got the baldy now, right? So now he say he wants to fight Klitschko.
Who?
He wants to Shannon Briggs, son.
He wants to fight who?
Klitschko.
You must mean Klitschko is in the grease. He don't want to fight Klitschko.
He want to fight Klitschko.
Oh, my God. What is he planning on doing with Klitschko?
Shannon Briggs from the Fuji records, son.
Oh, my God.
From the Fuji. Shannon Briggs.
He wants
from
the Fuji.
From the transporter. Shannon Briggs,
must,
that one, that dude.
Oh, my
he
God.
Shout out to
the homie Shannon Briggs. Who's So if he beats Klitschko, who is the next fight? Going to have a senior citizen match, him against Hopkins?
I don't know, man. He said he's coming back.
Him and Holyfield.
He's serious now, and he was the champion of the world, and he wants to be the three-time champion, and this and that, and he's ready, and he's serious now. He cut off his dreads, and he's ready to get back in the game.
That's what made him serious. He cut them dreads off. Oh, boy.
Yeah, he cut his dreads off, man. Shannon Briggs is back in the building. I'm like, oh, damn.
I mean, listen, if he could fight, fine, put him in the ring. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't mind right now seeing George Foreman back in the ring. I still think George would knock somebody out, Cass.
Well, Bernard Hopkins is fighting, so why not?
Yay.
Yeah, B-Hop fights next week, man. He fights against Babu Shimonov.
Yeah, that should be interesting.
And make sure you watch that card, man, because that card is going to be a good card right there on the 19th, man.
Who's on the card in the Pacquiao fight? You know about that?
Hold on, I got you. Hey, hold on, Afonso, I got you. April 19th, man, on Showtime, Bernard Hopkins against Babu Shumanov. That's a light heavyweight unification title. Then you got Sean Porter, who just beat Devin Alexander for the welterweight title,
yeah.
Right? So he's going to be fighting Paulie Malignaggi.
Oh, I'm sick of Paulie.
Yeah, so he's going to be... And my man Peter Quillen is going to be fighting on that card, too.
Who's undercarded for the Pacquiao fight? You know offhand?
The undercard for the Pacquiao fight? Man,
yeah.
That's a bunch of bums. Bunch of garbage,
yeah.
Man.
Oh, so
it's
$60. This $60 is terrible.
I got you. You got Raimundo Beltran against Arash Yusmani.
Right? Who the heck?
The world famous Khabib Arkadiev against Jesse Vargas. The international.
I'll give you $100 if you say that name again the way you said it the first time.
Khabib Arkadiev. No, I want the miracle whip on that. I didn't say that. That's not their name.
And then hold up.
Hey, it ain't over. Wait, there's more. Like they used to say,
oh, no.
There's more.
Oh,
we got the world famous Brian Vasquez against Jose Felix Jr. You heard of them, right? Come on now, you heard of them, dude.
Yeah, okay.
Come on,
at my corner store.
But wait, there's more. We have Shawnee Monahan against Joe McCready.
Joe McCready, get out of here.
Yes, Joe McCready.
That's the same one Mike Tyson knocked out when he came out of prison.
That's Joe McCready. And hold on, there's more.
There's another fight? What is that, like eight?
Esquiva Falcao versus Publio Pena. That sounds
like
something you don't want to have. I'm sorry, Big Rich. I'm sorry, Miss Levine. Don't dock me, man. I'm sorry. I said it was something that sounded like you don't want to have. Julio Pena.
Wait a minute.
Big Rich, I'm sorry.
Man, who was the second fight? What was I can't get over the second fight.
The second fight? The world famous Khabib Adesanya.
Oh, God.
Stop it. That's Khabib Adesanya.
What is going on, bro?
Yo, you know what, though? I'm going to tell you something. I can tell you right now. I'm going to tell you this. At least two of those fights that you just mentioned are going to be very good. Watch and see. Watch.
You watch and see, and then you let me know.
Because I'm not wasting time.
Hey, listen, you let me know.
Hey, fam, I got to get out of here, man.
Hey, Fonzo, we appreciate you calling, man. Anytime we hear, you know how we do it, man.
Say hello to Justin Verlander, Alfonso.
Say hello to Justin Verlander.
Listen, I can't believe this undercard, man. I really can't. Who are these people? Where did he come from? Where did he get these people from?
I have no idea.
No, these are the people from Locked Up Abroad. It gotta be.
I don't know. I just think that that name looks real familiar. That name, I don't know where I've seen it
before.
You already know. Khabib Adesanya. I'm gonna get me some Khabib Adesanya.
You sure he don't work at a gas station on the weekends, man?
You better not pick up no Pablo or Pluto Pina.
Woo!
Oh my goodness, man. We bugging.
I'm telling you.
Way to fly, man. You know what I mean? Right. We live and ask for further review, man. 646-200-3838. Press 1 to get in on the conversation. Shout out to all the other hosts, man, on GQ Palace Radio. The Divas do their thing, man, on Wednesday nights. Check out my man Rakim Singleton, a.k.a. Chicky Chick, doing his thing. Thursdays is the Belvins in the building. You know how they do it with the relationship style. My man Friday, Rich holds it down. Rich Money does the same thing. Check him out. Sundays, it's spiritual, and it goes down from the soul with Miss Lavina and my man Scribby Hunter of the Tim in the building. Mondays, Unsigned Artist Radio. You know how they do it. It goes down. I need to get down in that one time. I want in, Rich. I want in, my dude. Holler at your boy. And then, you know, Tuesdays, it goes down. Hard Body Karate. After the first review was in the house. I got a special shout-out. This one goes out to my man at the grocery store, Khabib Adesanya.
You want a turkey and cheese?
That's my man. He sold me a Snapple apple. You know what I mean? That's my dude right there.
He'll be like, hey, yo,
Khabib Adesanya.
Oh man, I can't believe it.
Man, what is going on around here? We do what we do, man. We have some fun, man.
I'm gonna die, man. Khabib.
Yes, Khabib. No, sir. It's Khabib Adesanya.
Khabib
Adesanya.
That sounds like the plague, bro. Like, really?
Khabib Adesanya.
Oh, I got to hear Michael Buffer announce his name. Ladies and gentlemen.
Hold up.
I'm a BBB.
3 hours early.
What
is that he's going to say? He's going to be at the sound check 3 hours early. How are you going to say his name? Do it again. How are you going to say it? Khabib.
Man. I can't get somebody that I heard of at least.
Do the Michael Buffer, man. Say his name. That's funny. I like that.
Fighting on my left, From the corner store, here is Khabib Habibi.
He dragged it out. You know what he says.
You never hear Michael Buffer when he really dragged out that last name. He cracked it. Now batting. Second baseman, Khabib Arabib.
Stop, my man
said he wanted to give a special shout out to the one who sold him the Snapple apple. I can't believe
that. You sold him the Snapple apple. That's my man right there.
Snapple apple.
And a couple of them fake things, too. That's what's up. That's my man. 50 grand.
My man said,
"That's the homie right there. Don't stop."
My man said, "Mason, the best stuff on earth.
My friend, please pay. Come again. Come see me again. I'll be right here, same time, same channel. I'll be here.
Oh my
god. It's fine. We had a good show, man. We had a good show tonight, man. I want to thank everybody for coming through. Kia, thank you for coming through. No doubt, you know what it is. My man, Mr. Alfonso May on the check-in live and direct. Appreciate you, my dude. And
Mr. Burlander.
Hollywood, man. It is what it is. Before we go, man, you know how we do it, man. We got the little round table. Everybody gives their little shout-outs or whatever. Kia, I'm going to let you set it off. You guys need to say before we get out of here.
No, I just feel like today is Yankees lost, but, you know, Team Yankees, World Series bound.
I hear you. That's what it is. Hollywood, man, you got anything to say before we get out of here?
Oh, I want to give a shout-out to the pound for pound best boxer in boxing right now for the Philippines, Mr. Manny Pac-Man Pacquiao, who I hope you go and knock Mr. Bradley out because you got a big date coming up in November, brother, with Mr. Khabib, and I am looking so forward to that fight, brother. Let's go,
Khabib.
Mr. Khabib.
I'm gonna fight. Yo, he's gonna be fighting in the corner when he's in the corner store. Khabib Alakazi.
Oh man.
And that's Michael Buffer still going. Alakazi.
Me, it's round. Hey, Mayor, it's round three. He's still going.
Yeah, especially don't let him win. Don't let him win, son.
Oh no!
The new champion.
Okay, but where is he from?
I like a dude.
Okay, where is he from? You bet somebody better. Somebody, listen. You know what? You know what's gonna hurt me? Nobody better not come and tell me he's from Los Angeles next week either, because I'm gonna be over. Fighting out of Compton, Los Angeles. There is Khabib Arabi.
Check us out, man.
I'm dying laughing.
My man Alfonso May checked it. Mr. Hollywood checked it. Kia checked it. I want to thank the big homie Rich for holding me down behind the board. I know I'm a handful sometime, my dude, but I come through in the clutch and make it happen. Shout out to Miss Lavina, man. We had fun tonight, man.
I hope everybody,
you know, checks out the show, man, have some fun with it, because we have fun with sports, but we also take it very seriously, you know what I'm saying? We know what we're talking about over here. Don't get it twisted, because we, you know, we do a lot of laughing and having a lot of fun, because we have fun in what we're doing.
Right.
We talk sports like we talk sports over here after Further Review, and we just hope you get, you know, you'd like to listen to. If you do, check us out, man. You know what I mean? Holler at the good people at GQ Power, so let them know you like After Further Review, or you can get at me, man. I'm on every day, man. After Further Review, I got a page on Facebook, After Further Review. That's my group and all that. Holler at your boy. Let me know what you like, what you don't like, or whatever. I get in every morning, man, After Further Review. One thing, quick, before we go. Hollywood.
Yeah.
April 8th, 1974. Where were you?
Probably still inside my mama.
Okay, all right. You was a twinkle in your mom's eye and all that.
Yeah, I'm a jitterbug.
Hank Aaron hit 7:15 on April 8th, 1974. I just wanted to acknowledge that at the beginning of the show.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to acknowledge, you know what I mean, 40 minutes and all of that. You know what I mean? We do that after further review. That's why I say we're better than them other sports groups, man. You might like them, but you're going to get into us after further review. We do it like
yes,
we
sir.
Do it. We talk sports like we talk sports. And we go down. And let me say this to all them other sports heads out there, because I know you're still listening because you're still wide open. You know what I mean? I'm the mayor, and I'm available to be tested. That's all I'm going to say. Holler at your boy. Get at me. GQ Palace Radio in the building. After further review, all day, hard body karate. Holler at your boy. I'm here next week. Peace.
Peace, brothers.
Yeah.
All right, Kia.
Every league, every team, every game, every season. 8 to 10, tell a friend. This is where the experts meet to speak on a pro. You want to join the conversation, gotta pick up the phone. 646-200-3838. This is the verbal version of the replay, the recap. The game 7, the draft, preseason, the rematch. Players and coaches, the mayor keeps you posted. Whether you're rooting for the home or away. Dirt, turf, hardwood, grass, a click. We keep the conversation going and we cover it all. So when it goes down, you know the score. When it comes to sports talk, this ain't no small talk. This is the big leagues, the ball is in your court. The best place for debate, the point of view. After further review, you know what to do.